Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live, must start and file in app by 2/18.
I can sympathize and understand what he's trying to get at, but I think he's like, all you're doing is just dividing the ummah right now. Where are you?
Like nationwide. I don't know how to do it, but you'll do it.
Nationwide.
What is that from?
It's on your side. Sorry to anyone listening to this with headphones. I'm literally, I feel like you.
From?
I'm sweating.
Is it hot?
Yeah, like this is insane. I don't know what's going on with my hijab. So anyone that's watching, just don't judge. My outfit is just, yeah.
Why are you talking down on yourself, Sara? You look beautiful today. Okay, don't worry about it.
Thanks, Amir.
Oh my god.
Okay, so this may or may not make the podcast. It might.
I don't know. Just tell it. What is it?
So on Friday, I went to a Jays game with a lot of people from work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously I don't drink, but a lot of other people do.
Which is always awkward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just had my smart water bottle.
Yeah, but then like the smell, there's a distinctive smell.
There is, yeah. The smell of alcohol.
Yeah. And like, oh, yeast. I don't know. It's like a yeasty kind of smell, right?
The good thing is that they weren't drinking beer. Mm. They were drinking like fruit, like not fruit drinks. What are they called?
Okay.
Mixed drinks.
So it didn't have that smell then.
It wasn't super strong unless we were like, you know, when you're passing through the, like the concession.
Aisle? Oh, yeah.
That's when I smelled it more.
Yeah.
But that wasn't even the worst part. So some of my coworkers and friends that I have at work know about the podcast, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you follow me on Instagram, then you're going to know about it, right?
Yeah.
And so when the liqueur was activating the tipsiness of some people, it came out.
That even makes it more awkward because you're coworkers. And usually you guys are supposed to be like professional and like a professional environment. There's HR involved.
So let me set the scene for you, okay? So it's not just like my level in the corporate ladder, there's like directors there.
Okay, there should have been like a 2-drink maximum or whatever they normally do. Hopefully a 0-drink maximum, but like if they were, but like.
But then it was kind of like, you know, shouted out like, oh my God, did you guys know Sarah has a podcast?
Mm.
And then it becomes like broken telephone.
Yeah.
And then, you know, for the people that I knew personally, like I was like, they were like, wait, what?
Yeah.
So I started telling them about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, you hear every other word. So they're like, well, what do you talk about? Oh, it's a cousin. It's called Cousin Connection. Okay. Throughout the night, that name changed so many times to the, by the end of the night, they were calling it the marriage podcast.
What?
And I was like, how did you even get the marriage
first
podcast?
First off, that's not even a creative name. Like,
I know.
Think
I'm like,
better
like,
us.
Come on.
We'd come up with something better than that.
Right. But then it was like, at one point. Okay. So also what I was going to say was, the company that I work for, which for privacy reasons, I'm not going to say where I work on YouTube or the podcast, but they have a podcast of their own.
Do they?
Yeah. Like they just started recently.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh my God, you should
no!
do
that.
You should do a podcast. Mind you, the podcast is with their freaking CEO.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, no chance. So my eyes are like bulging because I'm like mortified.
Yeah, my heart would have dropped if someone said that. No.
And so and the guy that was telling the associate director.
Yeah.
She's like, I can tell that Sarah is like ready to kill you. I can just tell by how she's looking at you. Yeah. And I was like, really? No, I mean, like, I'm happy to talk about the podcast. But I, now everyone at work, like everyone at work, and, mm-hmm. and I know for a fact Monday, this is going to be like the talk of the office. No,
that's awkward, man.
So yeah, I don't know if I want to put this on there because I'm probably going to listen to this.
Oh, but shoot. Yeah, because they might do research and be like, I wonder what she does.
If so, thank you for sharing my news.
I'm going to hold my opinions until after. We'll see.
But you know what? It kind of like...
I'm sure like you would do great on there. The guys, you know, she would be amazing.
No,
on there,
I mean, like, they want us to collectively
what
do like a collaboration, Cousin Connection X, the name of the podcast that my the company that I work
but then
for
they would find out which company you work for.
Yeah, I know. Then it's like a whole other thing, yeah. And it's like, and the thing is like, you know how it, okay, maybe you don't know how it is. If any of you do content creation on the side of your regular 9 to 5,
yeah.
You know, there's like a separation between your work life and your personal life. Mm-hmm. I still feel like the podcast is my personal life in a sense.
Yeah.
Even though we're like on a public platform, it's still like just what I do outside of work.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I just felt so exposed. And you know what?
I would too, yeah.
I realized that being on YouTube, having a podcast, being an influencer, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not influencers, but like just like the realm of social media. Mm-hmm. It's still somewhat of a foreign concept to people. Like it's not normal.
Yeah.
So as everyone's like freaking out and I'm just like, what? Yeah. Like everyone's on Instagram. Are they not? Like, mm-hmm. but I'm like, wait, that's not normal.
Yeah. Like everyone, I feel like everyone's on Facebook, but Instagram. Facebook. Yeah. Like still? Instagram's, I think Instagram's base is like billions, in the billions.
Oh, Instagram, not Facebook.
Sorry, not Instagram. I mean Facebook. Like, because Facebook is, it still has the older generation and it captures a lot more of the older generation.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I am missing out on, not missing out, but I'm forgetting that there's Gen Z, and Gen Z I don't think really made Facebook. I don't even think half of them know what Facebook is anymore. But the older generation, like the people who I feel like you're working around, the people, even though they don't have Instagram, I feel like a lot of them still have Facebook. So that's probably their only insight into what social media is like. And on social media, there's no real like Facebook influencers. There are Facebook influencers, but even we don't know about them because they're like for a older demographic for the most part.
I didn't know there were Facebook influencers.
Yeah, like remember Facebook tried to have like streaming on there. They tried to have their own like produced shows on there.
On Facebook?
Yeah, there are a lot of YouTubers who got a lot of money from Facebook to make shows for them.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I know there was like Red Table Talk.
Exactly.
That was exclusive to Facebook, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And like a lot of those are for an older audience for the most part.
Red Table Talk?
I think so, yeah. Red Table Talk is definitely for an older audience. What?
I used to watch it.
Sarah, you're kind of getting up there.
No, I'm not. Okay. I am young. Thank you very much. You're literally older than me, so I don't know why you're talking.
Oh, what, like 3 months?
That's a long time.
Yeah, but, you know, I feel like I'm...
You were kicking and screaming when I was a fetus still. Well, yeah,
sort of. Okay. Yeah, but mm-hmm. you know, I feel like I'm a little bit more tuned in with the kids these days.
Are you?
Just that line in itself.
I know, like that's how I know you're so.
It's like that meme. It's like that meme of the old guy at the school with a skateboard. It's like, what's going on, kids?
How do you do, fellow kids?
What's that guy? The actor with the bulging eyes. What's his name again? Steve Buscemi.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm talking about?
I do. Yeah,
I'm one of the memes.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
That's me. Man. That's me trying to, you know, hang with the kids.
No, listen. I think. The demographic at my workplace is pretty spread out, but like the people that were at the game were more so, I would say, millennials.
Oh, okay.
But across the board.
Yeah. Guys, Sara would be a great host for it. I might not be available, you know, just how scheduling works out and everything. But if you want to have her on there, like.
I may or may not have promised a couple of them that they could be guests on the podcast. Because they were like, can we come on?
A team, okay, guys?
Amir has to sign off, so whatever I said to you Friday doesn't always stand.
But now they're going to know, like, if they can't make it on, they're like, oh, you know, the other side, but no, whatever. It's all good.
Here's the thing. It was, like, the proposition.
Mm-hmm.
I have to explain to them the demographic, and I feel like we have a pretty wide range.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like, and we do talk about a variety of different topics. So like, if the shoe fits, mm-hmm. we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. Welcome back, guys, to the Cousin
Connection podcast.
So yeah, there's a lot. We kind of did a recap last week. So mm-hmm. but in the like 2 or 3 weeks technically we were gone, there's a lot that happened.
Yeah.
So there might be a lot of like old news that we're talking about here. But it's mainly just to catch up on what's
been happening.
Up to what's been happening. I'll start with one of the biggest things that was happening while we were in Australia. And this is actually tied to what's going on in Palestine as well, where there is a huge blackout of people, or even blockout. I guess we call it a blockout of celebrities. Like, finally, people were like turning on the celebrities and being like, hey, like.
The block party?
Yeah. They were like, guys, it's been 7 or 8 months at this point. Mm-hmm. If you haven't said anything at this point, if you haven't said anything by now, like, why are we even following you? Why are we giving you any clout? Why are we giving you any exposure? Like, why are we supporting you in any way, even by following you? Because even by following someone, you are somewhat supporting them.
Yeah.
Because that number they use to be able to get deals and like sponsorships and everything.
Right.
So people are like, okay, let's use our voice and technically our votes. Technically our votes in a way to make a real change and like start pressuring a lot of these celebrities. And it started with, what was that girl's name again? The one who said, so there was actually, what do they call that thing where the celebrities show up with a bunch of big dresses?
And fitting?
No. Like they all show up.
Oh,
with
the
like,
Met Gala.
The Met Gala. It all started Met Gala. Mm-hmm. Because people, when they saw that, they realized like, we're supporting this. We're supporting these people making them millions of dollars just so they can like show it all off to us.
Yeah.
At a place where it's $45,000 a ticket. Right?
What?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like $45,000 a ticket. A lot of the smaller influencers. Sometimes it's the people who pay, like the celebrities.
I didn't know that.
Sometimes, I don't know exactly how it breaks down. It's the actual designers that pay for it.
Oh, because it's their clothes that's going to be on display.
Yeah, it's their ideas. Okay. It's not even like clothes that they're selling. It's like their art, I guess, in a way, is what's being exposed out there.
Yeah.
And their name.
Yeah.
So they usually pay for the ticket. But there was a specific TikToker, I guess you could call her. She is a former model, or maybe still a model, maybe an actor as well. Mm. Her name was Hailey Bailey.
Oh, yeah. TikTok. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. And she is known now for, she makes like a lot more comedic material, but she used to be a model and still is a model, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And she was dressed up for the Met Gala, but she made a TikTok.
Yeah.
And the TikTok basically, it was a famous line that goes, let them eat cake, which I believe they said is a quote from Marie Antoinette.
Yes.
Who was actually beheaded in the French Revolution.
Yes.
And it came through like a story. They don't know if it's real or fake, but this is just like propagated where like people came up to her and said like people are, you know, starving in the streets.
Yeah.
They don't have bread to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And her response was let them eat cake. Yeah, to show how disconnected they were from the people, like to the point where they didn't even know, they couldn't even imagine what the poverty even looked like or what it meant.
Right.
So when that came out, everybody turned on her immediately. Okay. She lost millions of followers, and that kind of like continued, and people were like, why are we stopping here? Mm. Like, why are we, like, if this person's so disconnected and so like, what's that whole thing of like, you know, right time and place? Like, this is not the time. Well, yeah. I don't know. There's a word for that. When they're so disconnected, like Marie Antoinette was, I think that's the name. Hopefully I'm right on that name.
Yeah, I think it was her, if I'm researching.
There's a word for that. But essentially, they were so disconnected that it's like it wasn't the right place. It wasn't the right time to kind of make a joke or make, even in her eyes, it was a joke, but say anything like that.
Yeah.
And then people use that as like the catalyst to start blocking other celebrities. It started with a lot of celebrities who were at the Met Gala.
Right.
And then they would start going back into other celebrities like stories and posts and see if they've said anything about it. If they haven't, they would be added to the block list. And then there would be like other influencers who were speaking out about Palestine would come out with their block list. Yeah. And they'll start listing out people like Will Smith, Pharrell,
the who Kardashians, else? Kardashians. Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift, which I feel like Taylor Swift is like the biggest, she has the most influence, I feel, for a lot of the right now, youth, especially white youth.
I think, I was just going to say, she's always been pretty ambiguous when it came to like politics, religion, until her one documentary that she had on Netflix. I think it was called Miss Americana. Mm-hmm. And the only time that she really even mentioned anything political was surrounding like the Trump government.
Yeah.
And like gay rights and stuff, and how she like wanted to speak up about it. But, you know, she identified as a Christian, but like didn't ever speak about religion. So she like that was the one and only time that she ever really spoke about it.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of these, and to be honest, I was going to say, like, a lot of the celebrities fear the repercussions of speaking up against what the Israeli government is doing right now to Palestinians. Mm-hmm. But she has so much influence that I really don't think she would even be, like, missing out on much.
I think one thing I have realized about her specifically is that she's only out here for herself.
Well, yeah,
she does not care, because like the only time I've ever heard her speak out about anything is when it affected her. Like, she only spoke out about like the producers doing like weird things when it affected her, and like she had that whole scuffle with Scooter Braun.
Yeah.
Or like unfair like ticket prices, because it was affecting her and her ticket sales. Like, there's a whole Ticketmaster thing. I don't know if you heard about that, but there's a big issue with, like, Ticketmaster having a monopoly on the market. And, like, that's when she started speaking out and actually saying something about it. And I think they're actually suing about it. There's a lot going into that as well. But I feel like that a lot of people started noticing that, and noticing that these people with a lot of influence were acting like, you know, it's business as usual, basically.
Yeah.
So that actually blew up as this is all happening when you're in Australia.
Yeah.
And what did it lead to? It kind of led to a lot of celebrities kind of making, like, it looked like
they scrambled.
They scrambled and started making posts. I think like Lizzo came out with one.
Did she?
Yeah, she did. Oh. And like a lot of the celebrities that came out with one, and I think even a TikToker, what's her name? Brittany Broski. It looked like, I don't think you know who that is.
I do.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. So her and Lizzo, it looked like someone like was, as they were making the post, like someone had a gun to their head. Like the way that their eyes were like wide, being like, oh shit, like if I don't say anything now, I'm going to get screwed. And like they're really trying to push this. And then they're all like pointing to, I think, Project Olive Branch.
Yeah.
Which was, that was a big thing. They, once they heard that, I felt like they all were like, oh, just Project Olive Branch. Like,
yep.
What happened?
I was just going to say, do we want to talk about like there's this one TikToker. I think his name is Islam, ironically. No.
Oh, no.
But I think it's worth talking about.
Okay, you can talk about that too. Yeah.
So
that's really annoying too. Yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah,
why not?
Because so aside from like the block list for the celebrities, I feel like certain TikTokers then said, you know, let's focus the attention on TikTok influencers or just Muslim influencers in general. And so,
and it seemed to be like very specific Muslim influencers.
Yeah. And so like I think right now, like it's so crazy to me, but right now I feel like the Assad sisters are like public enemy number one.
Yeah,
you know who they
I've
are
I've noticed,
right?
That it's a lot of, they've been going after a lot of female Islamic Muslim influencers.
Yeah, so like the Assad sisters,
I guess, because they're the most, they have the most clout and the most attention, but still.
Yeah. Obviously, like, I'm sure you've seen the video that they made about Aisha.
Yeah.
Which, it was so random because I was like scrolling through.
For context, there's a guy on TikTok named Islam.
His name is Islam, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And like he made a series of posts basically calling out different Muslim influencers who he, I don't know what research he did, but he basically said that they were saying nothing about Palestine and were not supporting Palestinian people. And like,
he was coming at it from the angle of like the influencers are continuing to work with companies that are part of the boycott list.
Oh, yeah, that too.
But I think what he failed to realize,
but he did also mention that they didn't say anything about Palestine without.
Yeah, which evidence is not true, because first of all, like the Assad says, here's the thing. And I think we hold influencers to a like too high of a standard, mm-hmm. where we've spoken about this concept before, where people idolize celebrities and like mm-hmm. they kind of like look to them as their guide in life when like they're human beings too at yeah. the end of the day. But I think, you know, the angle that he was coming at was like, okay, these people have a lot of influence, yet they're continuing to post these ads with companies that are part of the boycott list. But I'm like, okay, I understand if these people signed these contracts after October 7th. Mm-hmm. Then, yeah, okay, whatever. You want to side-eye them? Side-eye them. However, a lot of these contracts, I don't think maybe he's not an influencer himself and doesn't realize these contracts are drafted up like a year in advance sometimes. Mm-hmm. These contracts are drafted up or probably were signed and set in motion way before October 7th, mm-hmm. way before the boycott list ever came about. Even if it was signed after October 7th, the boycott list didn't come out October 7th. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, like, unless you were doing this type of research prior to what happened as of October 7th or what came to light as of that date, because obviously what's been happening to the Palestinians is not something that just started October 7th. We all know
some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live, must start and file in app by 2/18.
Now mm-hmm. it's been happening for decades and decades and decades. However, because the majority of the world now knows what happened as of that date, people assume, okay, well, like after October 7th, we just have to cut off these companies that support Israel. We have to cut off celebrities that don't support the Palestinians, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. And so I think, and I want to, I guess, be careful with how I put this. But I think we need to cut them some slack because a lot of them.
Well, like also it depends on it's specifically for a lot of things that they're calling out. It's like some of these companies aren't even on the BDS list. They're just companies that are as a social collective online have been like, we probably don't want to associate with them anymore. It's not official BDS list because the BDS list is made to focus your attention on certain companies because. If you're just kind of attacking everything, there's no focus, you're not really going to affect that many companies, right? Because everybody's kind of going after something different.
Yeah.
But then the BDS list was made so you have more focus, like Starbucks specifically was a huge focus and actually made a huge difference, right? Yeah. So you kind of want to focus your attention instead of kind of like spreading out, doing like a shotgun rule basically.
Yeah, but he was trying to say like, you know, they're so, because I watched the... It's the same sort of style of video that he does. He'll pick an influencer, have like clips from their like past ads that they put on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And then he'll be like, oh, look, this person continues to support this brand and they haven't spoken up about Palestine. But I think he forgets the fact that like, first of all, people have multiple platforms. Mm-hmm. And depending on where majority of their fan base is, that's probably where they're going to post the most. Mm-hmm. For a lot of people, it's still Instagram. Although TikTok is big,
For a lot of people is thought of as like a kind of like, you know, a play account, like something you kind of do the unserious stuff, right?
Exactly. And like, yes, people spend more time on TikTok. Mm-hmm. However, and I feel the same way with even our channel. Like, there's more of that human interaction and connection on Instagram because you have the DMs and stuff, which you still do TikTok, but whatever. Anyway, that being said, he really went in on Assad's sisters, on Aisha. He went in on like some other like really big Muslim influencers as well, who he claims didn't speak up about Palestine. But they did. And they did even on TikTok. They did the same thing. And I think what kind of annoyed me was the fact that like you and I have the privilege of consuming this content and the footage of what's been happening mm-hmm. in Gaza on our phones and then going to sleep and then going to our 9-to-5 Monday to Friday. Mm-hmm. We are not expected to quit our jobs.
Yeah.
Even if the CEO of our companies decided to say,
yeah,
you know, I stand with whatever group.
Yeah.
We might hate it on the inside, but we're not expected to quit our jobs. Mm-hmm. So we have the privilege of continuing to work for our livelihood.
Yeah.
So what? The way you're like.
Oh, no, I thought something slipped. My bad.
So why are these influencers expected to now all of a sudden, you know, breach their contracts, which is probably going to cost them tens of thousands of dollars mm-hmm. and their credibility because they are supporting these brands that allegedly are supporting
Is Not Real.
Yeah, and yeah. like
I or at just least at least have companies that are in Is Not Real, because a lot of times they might not be supporting it directly, but they have like some type of base there, like they might have a chain or fast or franchise there, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and like mm-hmm. like I can sympathize and understand what he's trying to get at, but I think he's being a little bit like, all you're doing is just dividing the ummah right now. Well,
that's where I'm coming. That's my thing, is like, you're directing your energy in the wrong direction.
Yeah, like,
I feel like you should be kind of like focusing your energy on how you yourself can help the Palestinian people instead of looking back. Mm. And you know what? Okay, I think the best example is someone like Yuval. Have you seen Yuval? Okay, there's a guy on TikTok called Yuval. And there's actually another girl named Ayame. And he has this thing where he can basically find out where someone is in the world. Mm. So like someone will make a TikTok. Oh,
I've seen his videos.
Yeah, someone will make a TikTok and be like, where am I right now? And specifically, Ayame has been playing with him and being like, she'll travel somewhere and be like, find out where I am. Mm. And the next day or a couple days later, he'll post something where he says, this is exactly where I am. And he like breaks down exactly how he found out where she was. To the room, sometimes to like the spot she was standing in, like you'll be able to put an X exactly where she's standing. And what he started doing is that, like, because he knew that people would be watching these, he would like slip in a story, or not a story, he would slip in like a, what do you call those, fundraiser? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a fundraiser for like a family that needs to be supported to, so they can get out of Gaza. And they need, like, you know how they need money to get across the border. So he's been doing that a lot. Mm-hmm. And because there's a lot of attention between him and Ayame, because like they're kind of playing a game now. And now it's actually like escalated to like where they might be like falling in love. And like there's this whole story behind it.
Yeah.
But now they're working together so that because they know they're getting attention from people, they're using that to help people with fundraisers, right?
And that's how you use your platform in
exactly.
the right way.
So I feel like, when you have that attention and you know you're going to get a lot of attention for what you're posting, like, you should start utilizing that, right?
Yeah, but I think, you know, Muslim influencers also have a pretty big pull. Mm-hmm. And I think what Islam wanted to see from these influencers is to see them dedicate their entire platform, like, do a complete shift of their content. Yeah. But he also has to remember, like, that's their 9-to-5.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So if they completely shifted their content, they breached all of their contracts, mm-hmm. how do you expect them to have any sort of income or revenue?
Yeah.
Like, who knows? They could be donating behind closed doors. And really, that's between them and Allah, right? Like, you also have to remember, like, donating is still considered a good deed. And mm-hmm. you want to make sure that you're doing it with the most sincerest of intentions. Why would you, like... Some people don't like to broadcast their good deeds online.
Yeah, I think Lena Deeb recently came out with a video saying, like, I'm being attacked by this. I don't know if she was attacked specifically by Islam as well.
Yeah.
But she came out with a video being like, guys, I have been supporting, like, I've been speaking out about it mm-hmm. on all my platforms. I have posts about it. And I've actually, like, donated and had fundraisers and everything put together. And I'm still getting attacked for it. And then people in the comments were still attacking her and being like, it's not enough.
And so that's
it's never,
why, like,
that's the thing. It's never going
to
be enough.
But it just, like, it's annoying to see because, mm-hmm. like you said, we're focusing our attention on the wrong things. Like, at a time where we're supposed to be banding together to use our voice to make the most mm-hmm. noise, we're dividing and attacking each other.
That's why I said to just ignore it. Like, in my opinion, you should, instead of wasting your energy like trying to appease that one person who's speaking out,
yeah,
like even if you see like whatever numbers he's getting, like that's still very minuscule and compared to the millions of people that are on your side and want the same goal as you do or want the same result as you do. So you can just kind of like keep that perspective in mind and not let it affect you. Move forward and continue to do what you can to help the Palestinian people.
No, I wholeheartedly agree. And I just think it's unfortunate that that had to happen.
Yeah, that's why I was going to ignore it. I was like, whatever. I mean, I wasn't even going to mention it, but
I know, but we're here to talk
about
controversies.
Yeah, but also, sorry. So there is one more thing that kind of annoyed me where these same people are like people who are adjacent to Islam that were doing the same thing, calling out other influencers or recently calling out people for, remember, so recently there was actually a post made, the ones that you can like repost and it shows you how many people has reposted it called All Eyes on Rafah.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot that recently happened in Rafah.
Yeah.
And, you know, inshallah, like, they can gain some relief in that area because It's Not Real has, at this point, like their mask is off.
Yep.
America's mask is off. Like they clearly don't care at this point. They said what they recently did in Rafah with that gruesome video that everyone saw.
Yeah.
Like even if you didn't want to see it, like it seemed like you couldn't escape it.
Yeah.
And they said that didn't cross their red line. It's like, okay, then clearly there's nothing they can do that will make you, give them any repercussions. Like they'll feel no repercussions from it. But there was that post made that said All Eyes on Rafah and people reposting it so that they can hopefully gain more eyes on it and then, you know, hopefully reach the right people or the people who are still unaware of what's going on so they can start asking the questions, right? And at least that's the hope. And everyone you know was reposting it. I think someone even made a story or a TikTok where they're showing it, like every single person was posting it and this person was playing a character that didn't know about what was going on there. And then their next question, when they kept seeing everybody posting, I was like, they went to the next friend, like, okay, what is this Rafah thing? And then that's where essentially it's displaying or portraying what the goal of making that post is.
Yeah.
But still, this like TikToker, she's a Palestinian girl.
Mm-hmm.
She started chastising people for posting this and saying like, this is not going to do anything. And I was like, no, because like this is to spread awareness and anyone who sees it may start asking questions. At least that's the goal.
Right.
Including, of course, the other posts, because most of the times when you see that post,
mm-hmm.
it'll usually be followed by three or four more posts of what's actually going on in Rafah, which a lot of people did, what I did, what you did, everyone did that.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's also another form of like just wasting energy on the wrong thing. Like no matter what people do,
mm-hmm.
if it's to support your ultimate goal on raising awareness about this, why are you making posts chastising it at the same time?
I think we spoke about this before too, actually. I remember mm-hmm. this. I think it was around like regarding Subhit Daha, where he like Palestinians who have direct relation, like or direct relation impact of what's been happening.
Mm-hmm.
The way that they feel about this might be significantly stronger than the way that you and I might feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's impacting you and I too, but mm-hmm. we don't have family in Gaza or Rafah or any of the other cities that where the tragedy is happening right mm-hmm. now. So while we feel it from a humanity standpoint,
mm-hmm.
maybe we relate to it on a Muslim standpoint in some sense, but they feel it because they might have family members that are missing or that have been murdered, mm-hmm. that have, you know, been attacked. So the way that they feel about it and what they're looking for might be different than what we're looking for. We're looking mm-hmm. to spread awareness. We're looking to educate the people that follow us.
Yeah.
If they don't know by now, they might be looking for like, okay, a post is nice, but like maybe they want something else. Maybe they want more fundraisers. Maybe mm-hmm. they want, I mean, we can't physically help, unfortunately, but I'm just like, I agree with you.
Yeah, I can understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
But it still is in my eyes.
I know.
And I may be wrong in this, but I feel like it's wasted energy to make a post chastising people for this.
I agree.
Like, it's just going to make the people who are on the fence, like, you know, yeah, it's like...
No, I agree with you. I just, like, I was just saying it from, mm-hmm. like, the point of understanding. Like, yeah. I get her point of view as well. Mm-hmm. But, I don't think that's...
It's just wasted energy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally. That post didn't need to be made.
Yeah, at this point, like, you guys know, even for our platform, like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to say we completely transformed it to specifically only provide updates, but mm-hmm. we do regularly provide updates because that was just a decision that Amir and I made. While we have this platform, as small as it mm-hmm. may seem or as big as it may seem, we're going to do our due diligence to educate you guys who are listening.
Yeah.
But also for us to be in the know as well, right? Because it holds us accountable to know about it. And we've spoken up not only about Palestine, but about Sudan, mm-hmm. about what's happening in Congo, about what's happening really, honestly, I don't want to make fun of it, but it's like, I feel like we're almost like a news channel in a sense, like a world news channel yeah. here and
well,
there.
Well, don't use this as one of your sources, though.
I know. Yeah, I wouldn't use us yeah. as your source.
Maybe it's your first like entry into like,
you this know, is just for you guys to
raise awareness about it.
We're introducing you to the news.
Yeah.
And then it's your due diligence to do your research going
exactly,
forward.
Exactly. Exactly. Because, yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I get things wrong. Okay. But yeah, that was all of that. It technically, yeah, it's all related. Because I think everything right now that's affecting us socially is always or most likely going to come back to what's happening in Palestine at the moment, because it's something that affects us all, right? Like
we're living in such a strange time where mm-hmm. like you're living life and doing what you would normally do, and mm-hmm. then you go on social media and you're seeing a literal genocide happening yeah. on your phone,
mm-hmm.
where before we would hear about the genocides that have happened in the past in like history class,
yeah,
and now you're literally like, this isn't CGI, this isn't special effects, like these are real people. Like
mm-hmm.
that video that I'm sure we all saw, the baby
mm-hmm.
and the man holding like just a lifeless body, basically mm-hmm. like that's like engraved in my mind. Mm-hmm. And it's such a weird, like weird feeling, like seeing that. Mm-hmm. And then you're like just going about your day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have those
moments.
And then
there's other people who will justify it. It's weird how like,
you have those moments where you dissociate from reality mm-hmm. for a second. And it's like people have been making videos where it feels like exactly how I feel, where, you know, you're just like scrolling through your computer and you can hear like the screams and the mm-hmm. the cries from the videos, but you're not there. You're here.
Yeah.
It's such a like, subhanAllah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just, may Allah grant them ease. And
I mean, inshallah.
I don't know what else to say, really.
Mm-hmm. But no, I believe they will be victorious over time. Like, I know there's a lot of pain and suffering that's going on at the moment. Mm. But I do see that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. A lot of these things that we were talking about, a lot of these movements, a lot, especially with the encampments that were going on and still going on, we've seen a lot of progress from those as well, where schools are starting to divest. I think even University of Toronto almost gave no pushback, or was it Waterloo? There's a university in Canada that almost gave no pushback when immediately started divesting. The University of Toronto, they received, their staff all came out in support of the students.
I saw that, and they had a speech saying like,
yeah, like not to touch if you guys this. if you trying to go to the students, you have to go through us, basically.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's kind of like a done deal. Like I feel like eventually they're gonna have to divest. And the weirdest thing is that the fact that all these universities do have to divest, it's like, how is every university, every major university, invested in this one small blip of a country in the world? Because Israel's not that big, really.
It's not, but they have a lot of power, like more power than I think we even know.
Yeah, I don't want to get...
yeah, I know. Yeah. Let's just leave it there. Exactly. Next topic.
There was another thing. I don't know if you... This is something maybe only you can give insight on, but okay. There was another controversy.
Okay.
On the Muslim TikTok realm that occurred.
Mm-hmm.
You remember, you know Diary Room, right?
Hmm? Yeah. You know
Diary Room, right?
Yeah.
So they recently had a podcast where they were talking about hijabis
mm-hmm.
and like non-hijabis. I feel like I should show you the clip though.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you the clip.
I actually haven't seen the clip.
Somebody made a TikTok saying, stop making the comparison. You know how a lot of people say, oh, you might be wearing the hijab, but a girl that's not wearing a hijab
comparison.
Is could be better in the eyes of Allah because they wake up for tahajjud, or they do more prayers, or respectfully. I'm just, listen, don't fight me. Yeah? This is with all due respect.
This is where it gets controversial.
Yeah, because I saw this. Take it. I don't care. Love and guidance. If you have the energy, the willpower, the dedication, to wake up in the middle of the night and pray a salah that is not fard upon you, literally optional, because the hijab is not fard. Mm. You can put that same energy and willpower into wearing the hijab, which is fard. Like, I'm so sorry, but wearing the hijab is an obligation upon you. That could literally be the reason that you go to hell or Jannah. And you're comparing it to something that is optional. So like, she prays her sunnahs, she prays to hajj, she still dresses modestly. Like, this is no hate to the person, but people are struggling, genuinely. But I'm just saying, the dedication that you put into your life into one thing, put it into the thing that has been made obligatory towards you. Like,
I think just what I was just trying to say is prioritize the things that are fard. Yeah, because the sunnahs can come after, and of course, they can be there before, but if anything, the sunnah should be pushing you to do the fard.
And God willing,
what can it have?
Yeah.
So now that you've seen the clip, what's your opinions on that matter?
Why are you putting me on the spot just because I'm a hijabi?
I could give my opinion, but like, I feel like
you want to hear mine first?
I feel like the women don't want to hear mine.
No, I think it's okay. So she's not wrong, and I think that she's not wrong. Like she's right. Like focus your attention, like. You always want to do your fard first before you do sunnah. Do your obligations before the recommended matters. Like, yes, that's a given. Mm-hmm. However, not every Muslim is perfect. Mm-hmm. And so it's better for someone to pray their five salat and not wear hijab than for someone to wear hijab and not pray their salat.
But they were saying specifically not even the obligation prayers. Like,
I know they're talking about the sunnah. Yeah. Yes, yes. But... And she's not wrong. Mm-hmm. However, like, and I'm not a sheikha in any way whatsoever, nor am I perfect. These are ultimately reminders for myself first. Yeah. But at the end of the day, she's not wrong. And if you want to advise someone in your life that that doesn't wear hijab to start wearing hijab, then do so in your own way. But always remember to have the wisdom when you're advising someone. Second, someone who does sunnah prayer most likely probably also does their obligatory. I can't even talk. Their obligatory prayers as well.
Yeah,
I've never seen someone who only prays sunnah but leaves out the obligation. You know what I mean? Like, maybe.
But she was talking about not even like. I think she is assuming also they're praying the obligatory prayers, but the fact that like they're waking up and doing something that like. Even people who are dedicated, like,
but there's a
hardcore Muslims, even they have a hard time getting up that early to be able to do a morning prayer like that.
But the thing is, Amir, is that, like, prayer is something that's actually a very, like,
private,
intimate act of worship. Mm-hmm. Whereas wearing hijab, and I don't think people realize it, even sometimes myself, like, I've been wearing my hijab since I was 12. So, like, sometimes it's like second nature to me now. Yeah. But it actually requires a lot of strength to be an outward Muslim representing Islam on a day-to-day basis, living in a non-Muslim country where Islamophobia is so rampant. Mm-hmm. It's actually not easy. Yeah. Like, so I can understand and I can sympathize with those women who don't wear hijab or who struggle to wear hijab because of whatever reason. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And all they can do is pray that Allah gives them the strength to inspire them to start wearing hijab. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But like, I don't agree with the attacking people for not wearing it, but then still praying sunnah. Like, I would avoid doing that because all you're doing is you're just pushing people away.
Yeah.
I think you have to come from a place of love and encouragement and, you know, provide people with a safe space, right? Like, especially if you have such a large platform, if you're a hijabi yourself, like the last thing you want to do is be a reason for someone to give up when they're contemplating or like wanting to wear hijab, but maybe they're scared and maybe they look up to those three girls, who knows, like we don't even know those girls, but like maybe they looked up to them and then by them saying what they said it hurt the other people. And then I'm sure some of you guys are listening to this and they're like, but Sara, like, you know, what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong. Yes, that's true. But there's always, you always have to be wise about how you tell people. Even if they didn't wear hijab, they didn't pray, they were just Muslim because they believed in the testifications of faith. They believe in the fundamentals of what Islam means. Are you now going to sit here and be like, oh, you're barely Muslim, bro, because you don't pray, you don't fast, you don't wear hijab, you don't dress modestly, you don't do that. What are you doing? Is that how you help your brothers and sisters in Islam?
I think that's why, like, a lot of times you try and reserve your opinions, especially nowadays, and how, like, I can't even say very toxic the Muslim community seems to be online.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even us, we try to like reserve a lot of our opinions when it comes to certain rulings in Islam, or like our opinions on like what's going on in the Muslim community, just because of how like volatile it is. Because from this video alone, like, she got a lot of pushback and like a lot of people calling her out and saying like,
she's not, what you said is wrong.
Yeah, that's the thing. So
like, what the ruling that she said, mm-hmm. okay, but how you say it,
mm-hmm.
especially the platform that you have, come on, girl.
Yeah,
you could do better than that.
I you know what, they're still young.
So yeah, and so maybe we need to cut her some mm-hmm. slack.
And like, there is like a certain context, because there's a certain way people talk on a podcast. People are maybe a little bit more brash on their podcast. Like, that's just how their podcast is. So, and they know their audience, so they know that, like, because something that's seen by someone outside of your audience, it can be taken so much more differently than someone who's part of your audience, right?
Yeah, like, they don't understand.
There are certain podcasts that you would get so offended by,
mm.
but the whole point of the podcast is to be offensive and to be brash and to be, not saying that that's what this is, but like, there are podcasts where people are intentionally trying to be aggressive or offensive in some way, right? So maybe this, in their podcast specifically, they're always very like to the point, like they know their audience, they're like very opinionated. And the reason that people people watch them is because they're opinionated. And actually, this might work to their benefit, because there's an audience out there for them
mm-hmm.
that would agree with them. And now that this became a controversy, it actually may have gotten them more attention and more followers from it. Because there are a lot of people also who agree with her in her manner of speaking. And that is something rising on Muslim TikTok or Muslim social media in general, where people are a lot more
like harsh.
Harsh, yeah. Not harsh, yeah, harsh, yeah, harsh.
I don't know. What's your opinion on like giving advice in a harsh manner?
What?
Like you know, like the Ahli Aymans or the Abu Taymiyahs, like how they're very, like mm-hmm. they're both from London and they have that like street style, like roadman type.
That's
of
why I feel like it depends on who you're speaking to, right?
Mm.
If you're speaking to someone who wants you to just tell it to them straight, then it would work on them, right? But if someone is very conflicted and they like already have a lot of conflicting feelings on whether they feel like they should be there, that's mm. and you're harsh on them on top of that,
mm-hmm.
they're gonna be scared and just run away, right? So it really depends on an individual basis, which is why I feel like this could be just an audience issue where this became viral and reached an audience that's not the usual audience they get, and then it became something. It went out, came out of hand. What did they call it again? It would not turn out of hand. What do you call it again? It
went out of hand. Got out of hand.
It got out of hand. Oh my god! I don't know how I forgot that.
But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, and you and I both know this well enough now,
mm-hmm.
and we're not even on that scale in terms of like popularity. But
mm-hmm.
even if you and I are speaking to our regular audience right now.
Mm-hmm.
One 30-second clip that someone could take from what we're talking about could be taken out of context, which has happened.
Yeah, that's why I say context is a big thing.
But we also remember that. So when we're talking and mm-hmm. we're recording these episodes, I'm sure you and I both keep in the back of our mind, mm-hmm. like, what we say here doesn't just end here. Like, it could be spread to mm-hmm. literally anybody
across
the world.
But we're also older and, you know, more mature, have more experience.
No, but, like, even if they're young, like, they have a podcast and they're public figures, I'm sure they know now that their reach is pretty big. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's not just going to be limited to their audience, especially on TikTok.
But a lot of times it could be also intentional, like I mentioned. Like, it could be because they're trying to reach a certain audience. And,
maybe.
Like, they don't mind if they push away certain people. Not saying that this is their actual intention, but I'm just saying there are people who, like an Andrew Tate. You know, he speaks in a certain manner and he knows he's going to push away a lot of people, but he's looking for a specific audience. And that specific audience, he knows if they agree with him are diehard.
Yeah, but I don't know if they give off that vibe.
I know. I'm not saying that that's what, but like it could be something being done unintentionally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was just something that also blew up on the internet. Oh, shoot. That was something that also blew up on the internet.
I didn't see that at all.
It kind of like happened as we were traveling. It was like a smaller thing, not a smaller thing, but You're just not on that side of TikTok. Why aren't you on the Muslim side of TikTok? So I don't know what happens.
No, I am. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't on TikTok while we were traveling. Okay. Disconnected to reconnect with the cousins. I'm just kidding.
There was also, you know, this small thing, like a Drake and Kendrick beef. You know, it's whatever.
Did you guys hear? Do you even know who Drake is?
Huh? Yeah. It's like, yeah, that thing, you know, even though Kendrick wanted it, whatever. But so it's this whole thing.
I knew you would say that.
What?
Because you're a diehard Kendrick fan.
Now, you know what? You know what? It really did, this whole thing, it did make me realize, like, how Drake really was just a culture vulture the whole time.
What?
You know?
How is he a culture vulture?
What? You can tell, like, he attaches to whatever is popular and sucks it for whatever he can take from it. He's a vampire. He's a culture vampire.
What do you mean? He made Anita you yawn. Max
That's called
Wayne.
It cost you $10. Like I said before, no, this is a pre-podcast thing.
Guys, the time is 11:06 p.m.
Okay, whatever.
But anyways, I was trying to say he made Anita Max Wayne very popular.
Anita Max Wayne. Anita Max Wayne.
Yeah, no, okay, he's funny. And
he has his own culture, and I think that people just love to hate on him because mm-hmm. he knows how to laugh at himself.
He doesn't know how to laugh at himself.
Yes, he does.
He thinks he does.
He totally does.
But he likes to laugh at himself when he's in control.
Yeah.
But if other people are laughing at him...
What do you mean? You didn't hear his verse like regarding BBL jersey?
Yeah, because he's desperate now.
Listen, I think... But, okay, I also know Amir spent... our entire trip, every road trip we had, it wasn't even a road trip, every time
dissecting
we drove from
Kendrick lyrics
from one side of the city to another, all he listened to were different podcasts of them dissecting the rap beef between Kendrick and Drake.
Yeah,
but I also found it very interesting mm-hmm. that all of a sudden the whole world of rap beef was just revived. I remember that used to be a thing like way back when
mm-hmm.
and now like all these diss tracks and stuff now like there, I think, did we already speak about Chris Brown and Quavo?
Yeah, we did.
Then there was Kendrick and Drake.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was friggin' like Taylor Swift had a diss track about Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, which is weird.
Very random.
Yeah, and someone like played like her album and it just sounded like her talking. It didn't even sound like a song. It just sounded like her talking and like venting. Maybe it was just part of the song. It's weird. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not. I don't think I've ever actually heard a full Taylor Swift song until her like, except for her like debut songs. Like the ones like Romeo and Juliet. What?
It's not called Romeo and Juliet.
What?
It's called Love Story.
Whatever. Okay.
But you've definitely heard Taylor Swift songs. But
in 21. Oh, no, 22. Sorry.
This man really said 21.
22.
You know how it goes?
I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22. I don't know the rest of the words. That was everybody's song when they turned 22. Even to this day, I feel like people are putting that on.
When we turn 32, we're going to remix that song.
Is there a 32 one?
No, we're going to remix it.
Okay,
I'm turning
Not you
32.
Exposing our age, okay?
I never said we're 32 yet. I said when we turn 32.
Yeah, exactly. When? In like but, 3 years.
Yeah, why was everyone
what
in rap beef?
It wasn't really... It wasn't... I feel like it was just a few people, but... there are a lot of people involved in this one specifically between Kendrick and Drake and Kendrick and I like just washed the floor with him because Drake antagonized him too much by making that whole track because I think it took him a few weeks or it took Kendrick a few weeks to come out and in that time Drake came out with another track where he kind of like used AI voice of
Tupac and Snoop Dogg
and that probably put a fire under like Kendrick's pants where he's like, yo, I'm just gonna make like a whole album so he has no time to respond. I'm just gonna keep coming out with songs and diss tracks to basically like put him in the dirt, and that's what he did.
Oh, he had a whole album?
No, he basically said like, I got like plenty of tracks for you kind of thing. People thought he was gonna come out with a whole album at one point.
Yeah.
He never did. Maybe he's still working on one, we don't know.
Yeah.
But it kind of ended with that whole... It wasn't Meet the Grams. It was the Not Like Us track, which became the number one song in the country. And I think still is the number one song in the country. And did you hear there was actually a DJ in Toronto recently who tried to play that in the club, and he got kicked out. The DJ got kicked
in
out.
In Toronto? Yeah. Actually, I was at the Jays game. Someone's walkout song was not
No
like
way.
That. And I was like, oh my God, at the Rogers Center in Toronto?
It must have been the opposing team. It can't be a Toronto guy. If it was a Toronto guy, he would get kicked out.
Yeah, I was floored.
But that was a crazy thing that went on in as we were there, and like tracks were coming out as this trip was going on. So a lot of road trips were just me dissecting lyrics.
I did listen to... I think
Not Like Us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And probably Meet the Grams, the scary one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I forced you guys to hear that one and like try and dissect what he's saying from the different perspectives.
Crazy.
Yeah. But the other big thing that came out, it came out actually a little bit close to when we were leaving. And I like was kind of like forced to watch this. I didn't even want to watch this because someone just posted it straight up. I didn't know what the context was. So essentially, I pull up Instagram. And I see a post by some comedian that I follow, and it shows a girl standing in like the area, the elevator area in the lobby, not the lobby, but on one of the floors of a hotel. Like, okay, it's just a girl standing there. And I was like, oh, it's kind of like, it looks like security footage. Like, what's going to happen here? He doesn't usually post like direct videos like this. So I was like, okay. And I see her standing there, and out of nowhere, it cuts to the hallway, and you see Diddy running with... he's holding a towel and sprinting down the hallway, and then it cuts back to her at the elevator room, and he just, and I see full thing without being blurred or anything, see her like take her by the head and like throw her to the ground and like kick her. I'm like, did I just witness someone getting abused here on camera? And then he doesn't stop there. He takes her by the hair and starts dragging her down the hallway, and that's where the video, I think I stopped watching at that point. I was like, I don't know. I feel like this was forced on me, right? And that's when I found out that like it was exposed that someone paid like $50,000 to for this video and put it out publicly to expose Diddy. And then more started coming out about like all the things that he's been into. At this point, like he's done for.
I mean, but he's been exposed, right? Like Cassie had that lawsuit against him, and that, and the documents are public and everything that he
did. Yeah, but those are documents. It's very different. A lot of people who are still in support of him can say, oh, but these are just, you know, she can make up lies. She got paid off. A lot of people are saying she's got paid off because almost immediately when she came out with that suit against him, they
settled. Yeah.
And so people took that as being like, oh, she was just making this up so she could get more money. And then the video came out.
He paid her because he knew that.
Well, like, but that was how people were twisting the story.
Yeah.
To still defend him, essentially, even though there were still so many rumors about him.
Yeah.
But this kind of like put the nail in the coffin and said, nah, this guy is definitely an abuser. And now all the stories that people are coming out with, people are believing almost immediately. And it really, this whole thing kind of just exposed the entertainment industry in general. I already knew.
Yeah, we knew.
The entertainment industry was scummy, but this kind of confirmed it all. And then there were more stories about all of these celebrities who either knew about this, who were in on this, who took part in this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And when I say this kind of stuff, I'm not just talking about this like abuse of women, like a lot of weird things, like him like sharing Cassie, who's in that video, with other men, basically. And
that's
like
crazy.
How he abused not only her, but like even his own like executive producers, female executive producers and male executive, producers and musicians in general, and all the crazy things he would do, but other celebrities would do to in these like parties they would have as well.
Yep. You didn't hear about the conspiracy about the alleged conspiracy about Justin Bieber and how he was abused by him, and allegedly.
I believe, at this point, I believe it all.
Usher.
Everything that comes out now, I will immediately believe it.
Did you see the clip of Usher at the Met Gala?
No.
I have to show you.
What did he do?
He just looks... Basically, they're saying, like, Usher is, like, so far gone. He's now a clone. Like, they got him. But he was... P. Diddy was his mentor, the same way that Usher was Justin Bieber's mentor. Mm-hmm. And they're saying that allegedly P. Diddy groomed and abused
Usher,
and then that went on to happen to Justin Bieber, and that's when he kind of like, you know, he went away from the spotlight for a while. But
for
at this point
all celebrities are done with me. Like I don't look to celebrities in any type of positive light.
Usher. Hey.
Sean McGuire and myself decided to put this amazing thing together. Bit exotic, romantic, and but still within the garden theme.
And tell me about the
it's all a part of it. Just everything. You're looking at a, I mean, this is a true thought, like a cohesive, full thought, you know.
Yeah. And how did you interpret the theme tonight?
Just as that. I wanted it to be exotic. There's all different types of gardens. Some of them get a little dark, but you gotta have fun, right?
See?
I feel like people are kind of looking too much in that video, but like overall, all celebrities are like, there are a few that I'm like, you know what? These guys, they just kind of like came up on, they just happened to get very popular and they're just trying to make their way in this. Mm. But still, I feel like they all know what's going on behind the scenes. And just knowing, it's like that whole ACAB thing. Like, just like, you know what ACAB is, right? All cops are bad. So like even the good cops, they at least know what's going on, and the fact that they're not saying anything, you're kind of complicit in it as well. So yeah. I feel like the same way with celebrities now, which is what also played into, I think, the to bring it back to what we initially spoke about with the blackout of celebrities. Like, you're realizing that all these celebrities are just like heathens who are out for themselves, out to make money for themselves, to satisfy their own desires, and don't really care about the people.
But that's how you get to that status. Yeah. You have to be self-centered, a low-key narcissist, mm-hmm. selfish, in order to get to that level of celebrity.
Yeah. So, but like any type of innocence I had, or like, not innocent, innocent thought, naiveness I had towards these celebrities, where I looked them somewhat in a positive, like I used to like, oh, Will Smith, like, yeah, he's a cool guy, he seems like a cool guy, and you realize no, they're just all out for themselves, like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of darkness behind it, and as Muslims we kind of already knew this, we already know this, we've been warned about this by our parents and by sheikhs and everyone, right?
Yeah,
but you still have that little bit innocence, like, no, like, they're just having fun, right?
They're just
but
playing a part.
Yeah,
they're trying to appease to an audience because they have to gain popularity somehow, mm-hmm. right? And yeah, if they can appease and they can play a part, mm-hmm. what happens behind closed doors is now coming to light, so we all see it.
Yeah,
we all know what's happening, but in the past it was a lot more hush hush, mm-hmm. and so, you know, it's just, it's very, you know what's interesting about social media, mm-hmm. the very platform that helped like propel these people, yeah, into stardom is now exposing them too, mm-hmm. so it's just,
so I was trying to get rid of TikTok too. I'm just saying, okay?
My, have the tables turned.
Yeah, have the turntables turned. Have turned. You know that mean too. You know, you don't know. Okay, don't worry about that either.
Well, well, well. How the turntables.
I'll play it over this maybe if I can find it.
Okay.
Sometimes it's hard to find these things. I don't know how. I don't know why.
You TikTok it.
Huh? TikTok it?
Yeah, like,
oh yeah, I can try. We'll try. Yeah. Okay. One last thing I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we've actually spoken about this.
What?
But recently, mm-hmm. Kelly Clarkson, she came out after a 50-pound weight loss.
And she, I just saw a video.
You
on
saw
this
that too, right? And she credited it all to a drug called Manjaro.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of perked up my ears because, like, I've heard this before, and I heard it because South Park recently came out with an episode, like, almost like a featured episode because it was longer than a regular episode, where they talk about these, like, weight loss drugs. Mm. And, like, they kind of made fun of Lizzo because there was one of the moms who was, like, getting pressured into using one of these, like, Manjaro or what's the other? Ozempic?
Ozempic, yeah.
But she couldn't get it prescribed because she didn't have, like, a reason, or diabetes, whatever. The doctor was trying to be play by the books, and he suggested, he's like, you know what, I can't prescribe you this, but you should try Lizzo. And then literally, like, it starts playing like one of those medical ads.
Uh-huh. I controlled all my cravings to be thinner with Lizzo.
Oh, it's Lizzo.
FDA approved Lizzo makes you feel good about your weight, and it costs 90% less than Ozempic.
I've lowered my standards and my expectations.
It's basically like what Lizzo has been
doing, I guess.
Doing, but also at what Lizzo has been promoting.
Oh, promoting.
Yeah, has been promoting, like, that lifestyle.
Yeah.
And then actually Lizzo like did a stitch to it and reacted to it, right? And she actually took it to the chin. She was actually pretty like.
Did she laugh?
She didn't laugh, but she's like, you know what? I like the fact that I'm at a level now where I'm like being referenced in South Park.
Yeah.
Like she took it like that. I was like, you know what? Good on you, Lizzo. At least I don't support almost everything. Not everything, but I don't support some of the things that you promote out here. But at least I can dig the fact that you can take, even though she's one of those celebrities who was into that a lot of that weird stuff, which was exposed actually last year. And the fact that she's still out here popular making music and it's like in pop culture is kind of weird. In fact, that she wasn't canceled for that, but whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they made that, and then I think Whoopi Goldberg also came out and said that she lost a bunch of weight using that same thing, and a bunch of the comments were saying like, "I lost 80 pounds, I lost 100 pounds," that kind of thing. And I was like, "Do you think like this is just gonna be? Is this now normalized in your eyes?" My question to you is like, would you ever think of like just being like, you know what, forget all the like eating well and working out, I'm just gonna do this.
You know what? You know what's actually scary?
Yeah.
I don't even think these people have considered the long-term side effects. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they have, or, you know, when you have that much disposable income, mm-hmm. I'm sure you can afford the best doctors mm-hmm. to help you. But I saw that video mm-hmm. and then I was like in a rabbit hole. I'm like, what is Manjaro? Like, what is it even? Like, I knew Ozempic was like, a needle that you inject into yourself. I guess it's a meal suppressant, appetite suppressant.
Yeah.
And people will say like, yeah, I lost 100 pounds, 80 pounds. Like people that were like needed the help, I guess. Mm-hmm. However, what I discovered, mm-hmm. Ozempic is a drug specifically made for diabetics. Mm. Manjaro is like the off-brand.
Yeah.
And then there's another one called Wegovy. I think
I've heard about that too.
And that one is specifically for people who suffer, who live with, the politically correct way to say that is, people who live with obesity.
Mm, is that how they say it?
Yeah, they say you can't say suffer with obesity, so it's live with obesity now.
I live with obesity. Technically, I'm obese on the scale.
Are you? Yeah. But that BMI chart was made for we all know the controversy behind that one. But anyways, and so there was a controversy behind Ozempic becoming this like fad new trend of like slimming down mm-hmm. because, you know, the Kardashians were accused of using
Kardashians
Ozempic.
Are using it allegedly.
Is her name Mindy Kaling?
Yeah.
The girl from The Office?
Yeah.
Her, there's a bunch of celebrities.
I think almost every celebrity.
The guy who started the Tesla
brand.
What's
his
name again?
Huh?
The guy who started Tesla.
Elon Musk. Yeah, he's using it too.
Like a lot of celebrities are mm-hmm. using it, and it's obviously influencing everyday people to mm-hmm. want to use it. However, those who can get their hands on it, first of all, it is so expensive. Actually, my coworker is starting it soon.
Oh, really?
But he's actually diabetic, and that's what he's using it for. So it's not to like lose weight for cosmetic mm-hmm. reasons. And so he was telling me like how expensive mm-hmm. it actually is.
Is it not covered for him?
It is. Oh, okay. But he was saying for 1 month worth of injections mm-hmm. in Canada, Ozempic is $1,100.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And I was like, mm-hmm. And he's lucky that his insurance covers it mm-hmm. but it's the type of drug where once you start you can't stop. If you stop mm-hmm. you literally, first of all, your appetite comes back and you're not eating one meal a day mm-hmm. or however often you eat when you're on it and when you start eating like your normal three meals a day or however often you mm-hmm. eat and your normal calorie intake, you gain all of the weight back, if not more.
Well, I think that's mainly because you haven't built that good habit because you relied on a drug to kind of force you to eat in a certain way or a certain amount. Once you're off of it, you haven't built the habits to find out how much you actually need to eat or to stay at whatever weight you're currently at. So you just eat what you used to eat, which then makes you get back to the weight that you're at before, because that eating as you did before is what got you there to begin with.
But how do you,
like, are there actual,
how do meal suppressants even work? Like, does it just make you not hungry? How are you not hungry if you don't eat? Like, that part didn't make sense to me.
It's like coffee. Coffee is also, is it meal suppressant? Is that the word?
They say it does help to curb your appetite, same way cigarettes appetite suppressant.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's like when you're chewing gum. Like people say after you've eaten a meal, if you don't want to snack as much, start chewing gum because you'll be less likely to snack between your meals.
No, it's chewing the same gum idea. Makes you hungry.
What? No, it
opens your appetite. Yeah, because the action of chewing opens your salivary gland.
Does it?
And it tricks your brain into thinking that you're hungry because you're chewing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So that's why, like, okay, let's go back to coffee then. It's the same idea as what coffee does. Like when you drink coffee, it tricks your, and also drinking a lot of water tricks your body into thinking that you are full. Somewhat full. Yeah.
I guess. Okay, I can understand how that works. Mm-hmm. I just don't see, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm ignorant to this, but is like the concept of Ozempic, Mounjaro, Wegovy, whatever, isn't that new? Like, there's not that much long-term research on it. I don't know what the side effects are. Like,
it depends on how long it's been used for people with diabetes. Like, is this a new drug for people with diabetes? Has it been around for so long, but people just realized what the benefits are of that?
I think that's what it is.
Because if it is, then
for Ozempic, the other two are newer, but I think Ozempic was around a little bit longer, and then they realized that it because, so for example, have you heard of what PCOS is?
I've heard of the name, but I forget what it does.
So it's polycystic ovarian syndrome. So that's something that impacts a lot of women who like, basically it impacts their menstrual cycle. It's a hormone imbalance, and some people call it like the cousin to diabetes, because it impacts your ability to produce insulin, or your body, how it breaks down the sugars in your body. So it's like kind of like diabetes, but it isn't diabetes. I think when some women who have PCOS, one of the side effects is symptoms, side effects.
Yeah.
Is that you have like an irregular period, you have like weight gain, I can never pronounce this word. Hirsutism.
Okay.
Which is like facial hair on women, which is normal.
Yeah.
And so this,
that's where I've seen it from. TikTok. There's someone said a PCOS and then she's like shaving her face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Ozempic is a drug that helps manage the like hormone imbalance for women who have PCOS. And so then when women, like when certain doctors started to prescribe Ozempic to them, they were losing all this weight. And then it was like, oh wait, this drug helps us lose, or I don't even know if you can call it a drug because it's a needle, whatever. Anyways,
it's called a drug. No, when you take it, it affects your body in some way, right?
I guess so.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So they're like, this drug helps us lose weight. And then, you know, the Kardashians, who are very famous for being like really curvy, all of a sudden are like super slim now. And so they're like, how'd they do that so quick? They can't just do it from working out. Like, how do you get rid of an entire butt? Like, makes no sense. Then they're like, oh my God, they must be on Ozempic. Yeah. And then Kelly Clarkson came out with like, you know, lost all this weight, and all these celebrities, and they're like, we have to get our hands on Ozempic. Now there's like an Ozempic shortage, which is why I think those other brands.
I forget the side effects for the people who are using it, who don't have diabetes. I feel just bad for the people who actually do need it, because that was the biggest issue, where people are who actually do need it don't receive it or can't get it. Yeah,
because when you're diabetic, you're taking like so many pills in a day just to be able to like function properly. And I don't know if Ozempic eliminates the need to take all those pills, but if that's like what you need to like literally just survive, and people are using it now for weight loss instead, and those are both different health issues, right? Like being diabetic and being like obese, where you can't live your day-to-day life and it's impacting your ability to live, I guess, is also like a health concern.
But that's the thing, a lot of people who are using Ozempic aren't even at that level to where it's affecting their daily life.
Then there's no way that their doctors are just prescribing it to them.
Well, that's why they're buying it, right? Especially,
what do you mean?
That's why I feel like a lot of the people who are using it right now are people who are rich and have some influence and can go to the doctor and be like, oh, you know, can you just like make up whatever symptoms I need to fill the prerequisite to be able to get this drug? And then they do that. Or they just buy it from whoever they can. Like, maybe they go to the source, right?
The drugstore? Like the pharmacy, I mean?
No, like if the pharmacy's not willing to give it to them, they can just go to the supplier, right? Especially if they have that much influence, that much money. And like, especially these people, these celebrities, they have celebrities doctors who will give them whatever they need. Like how all the men are on steroids, right?
Yeah.
Like steroids are technically not legal.
Yeah, you're right.
But they have to get it from somewhere, right? And they're going to get it from the cleanest and most trustworthy source. That's usually like these celebrity doctors who are getting paid the big bucks to do whatever they want or get them whatever they want.
But I also see a lot of influencers on TikTok. Like they've popped up on my For You page where they talk about their journey because I'm like, wow, how did they lose like 100 pounds in 6 months?
But okay, do you see? No, there are people who lost 100 pounds from it. But do you hear about that whole Ozempic face?
Yeah.
Yeah, where like they have like this like sunken face look because of the fact
of all of their fat in their body. Mm-hmm. And didn't you hear
But then their head looks like bobbleheads.
You didn't hear the song?
No.
It's like, Ozempic.
Is that from South Park?
No, it's from someone made like a fake infomercial on TikTok.
Oh, 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 Ozempic. We know you didn't do that alone.
But see, that goes back to the thing you were mentioning. So she just showed me a clip where a guy was basically saying what you were saying, where people gain, most of the people who take over that Ozempic gain the weight back.
Yeah,
I feel like that has less to do with like a side effect from the drug, but just them not building the habits the correct way.
But even if while they're on the drug, they develop healthy habits, they're eating 3 meals a day based on their BMI, they calculate or their weight, they calculate how much they need to eat in a caloric deficit.
Mm-hmm.
Once they stop taking Ozempic, their appetite comes back to what it used to be, if not more.
Yeah.
And maybe the calories that they were eating before might not be enough. They might still feel hungry.
Well, yeah, it was never enough.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the reason that the weight loss is so drastic and so fast is because they're significantly cutting their calories to the point where they're maybe eating like 1,000 calories a day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, which for most people, you would be crawling on the floor looking for scraps from how hungry you'd feel at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But for them, because it's a meal suppressant, like they're just kind of like, okay, you know, I'll drink a little bit of water and I'll be good. They don't feel it. But then that's the power of the drugs, man. But yeah.
It's basically like the cheaper alternative to doing gastric bypass.
Yeah, like that, the gastric sleeve, right?
Oh, gastric sleeve, sorry.
Yeah, so that one, I saw a couple, after I saw a couple of those TikToks, I saw a couple who did that.
Gastric sleeve?
Yeah, and then they like showed their journey. Is it
the same thing, basically?
They just make your stomach smaller, essentially.
Yeah.
Or actually, I think they almost get rid of your stomach completely.
What?
They make it very, very small. I saw the like surgery or the picture of it.
Does it stay that size forever?
You can, I think you can get it taken out eventually. It's like they can just cut it off, I feel. I'm pretty sure you can get it cut off. It can be reversed. Because that would be kind of crazy if you went your whole life.
That's what I'm saying.
Not being able to eat a full meal again, or like at least you being able to not worry about you getting full halfway through your meal.
Dang.
Yeah, but they might want that. They might get used to that lifestyle and then start going to like fancy restaurants where they know they're going to get like tiny bits of meat.
Either way, like this is not us shaming people for like if you're on Ozempic, even if it's for weight loss, like as long as you've done your research and you're just making sure that you're healthy and you know, not suffering from like long-term effects, then do you, because sometimes it's hard for people to lose weight too, like especially if they've been a certain weight for a very long time. Like yes, they can do it the way of like eating healthier and moving your body, but sometimes people want results, like, you know, instant gratification.
But I feel like also the results aren't really that desirable anyways, because like sure you get skinny,
but
I'm coming from the
say you get skinny but you don't have any muscle.
Like
you have to build that.
You look like your skin and bones too, which in my eyes is like not any better a lot of times than someone who's maybe obese, right?
Yeah.
Because either way, you're not healthy.
Yeah.
In my eyes, like to be healthy, like you have to have like some type of balanced diet where your body is getting the nutrition it needs. You can be someone who's overweight, and as long as you're eating, giving your body the nutrition it needs, you'll eventually get to some type of like neutral level where you're not gonna be like skinny, but you're not gonna be like to the point where your doctor's being like, hey, you gotta like start watching what you're eating, kind of thing, right?
I mean, because everybody has
like a different sitting weight level.
I was going to say, being overweight doesn't always necessarily equal being unhealthy.
Yeah.
Right? Because, again, we're just referring to that one BMI chart mm-hmm. that, like, is allegedly universal. It's mm-hmm. not.
It's a good gauge for where you should be.
Yeah, but I wouldn't, like...
But there are other factors you have to take into account.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't obsess over that specifically. Be like, mm-hmm. I'm not in the range. Like, oh, my God, I'm considered obese yeah. or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. But I think just, like, as long as... you are, I'm not even going to say eating three meals a day, but you're eating enough calories to sustain your body and mm-hmm. you're getting some form of like physical activity a couple times a week mm-hmm. and you're like just going for your regular doctor's visits mm-hmm. and you're just healthy overall, like you feel good, mm-hmm. then, you know.
Yeah, because you will reach a level where even if someone might look at you and be like, oh, you're a little overweight, like that's at least like, to you, that's, you feel like you can do whatever you want. Like, you, if someone says, hey, let's go on a run, it's not like you're going to be dying after like 10 meters or 100 meters, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can go, because there are people who may carry a little bit of extra weight, but they can run a whole marathon if they mm-hmm. wanted to, right? So everybody kind of, their level of healthy looks different. But I just try and tell people, like, I try and promote like some type of just healthy lifestyle. Because yeah. having a healthy lifestyle will make, and making like healthy decisions,
yeah,
will ultimately get you to a point where like you're
happy in your body,
happy and yeah, and happy and healthy.
Yeah,
exactly. But yeah, so that's all I had for today. Hopefully, some of that was fun and informative for y'all. At the end of the day, remember Free Palestine. Mm-hmm. I got it out for you.
Because I said it first last
yeah.
time.
Well, last night like, I was awkward. I was yeah. like, yeah, whatever.
I was like, pre-pause, and he's like, yeah. yeah.
It caught me off guard, okay, guys? Whoever got made it to the end of a podcast last time.
Yeah.
But yeah, so outside of that, make sure to, if you like this episode, hit the like button there. Subscribe to the channel if you can. You know, we're still trying to get to that 10K. I feel like 10K is a nice round number. We still have to, you know, hopefully get our name out there, you know, start getting some sponsors so we can invest more into our equipment, you know, maybe get a bigger spot. We'll see.
Live podcast, maybe, yeah, potentially. Yeah, events. Live podcast. Amir still, he's still warming up to the idea.
Exactly. Get us to 10K and we'll talk.
Let us know. Live event, Cousin mm-hmm. Connection live?
Hmm? Yeah, maybe.
10K, we'll go live.
Yeah. Thank you again for watching. Follow us on all those other social medias and we'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
I'm out of here.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.